It's Celtics coverage on CLNSRadio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
All right, folks. Woo. What a game. What a game. We are joining you here on a lovely Wednesday evening. It's overtime. Overtime is in the air tonight, and we just watched the Boston Celtics take down the hated. Pitied. I don't know the Washington Wizards of some renown. The Almost Bullets, who have sort of had a rivalry with the Celtics. I'm using air quotes here in recent years, but have also sort of gotten the Celtics goats in recent years. They pushed the Celtics to overtime. Where the Celtics were ultimately victorious, 130-125. You're listening to the CLNS post-game show. I am your host, Sam Sheehan. I'm going to be joined by Jack Michael in a little bit. But first, I just want to, go to our sponsors, who we appreciate, who are bringing you this lovely content tonight. And that sponsor is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Every neighborhood, and I mean everyone, has a heartbeat. And that's a place that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core. In Boston's historic North End, that place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company, BBTC for short, has become home to A-list Boston celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Milan Lucic, Brad Marchand, and Aaron Baines. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company is more than Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's also a tourist attraction for hundreds of thousands of people that visit the North End throughout the year. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company, a North End landmark that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core, located at 113 Salem Street. We appreciate them sponsoring the show. So let's get to it. Let's talk about this game. Celtics victorious in overtime. Once again, that final score, 130-125. Folks, it was a close game. So I'm going to bring in my my co-host, Jack Michael, Jack_Michael17. Did I get that right? Where's the underscore?
Yeah, the underscore.
Yeah, okay. Oh, all right, I nailed it. Perfect.
So
I think we got to start with the Marcuses, right? I mean, Kyrie was kind of the he put the pillow over the head of the Wizards at the end of the game, but I feel like it was sort of the Marcuses that kept the the Celtics in the game up to that point. I mean, how did you? You're sort of that I'm a huge Marcus Morris fan. I've always loved him. As anyone could ever tell, please don't check that on my post. But what did you see out there tonight, Jack? What was what did you think of the Marcuses out there tonight?
It was a great game. In the first half, a little bit of overall it was kind of a snooze fest, I thought. But I was watching the NBC Boston broadcast, and Scal was saying it the whole game. Marcus Smart was kind of just all over the place. I know you're going to want to talk about Marcus Morris, so I'll save him for next. Woo-hoo. But Marcus, he was all over the place. He was flying around defensively. I mentioned it. I did the post game with Taylor the other day, and it was the same thing. Even in the Bulls game, he was just flying around defensively, and it's great to see him. Ever since he's been in the starting lineup, it seems to have kind of breathed new life into the team. And obviously, they've been playing some of the worst teams in the league over the stretch, but like it's still seeing him make plays on the defensive end, seeing him shoot. Cause I think this year is his career high true shooting percentage. Yeah. Do I have that right?
I can get the exact numbers for you, but just outrageous uptick, and real value being added.
And I mean, we saw it tonight too. He was making plays on both ends of the floor. He got to the line 7 times. He hit all 7, including 2 kind of late in the fourth quarter there. He was only a +4 tonight, which is a little weak for him, but we'll take it in a 5-point game, I guess. We'll take anything we can get. Yeah. And then Marcus Morris. I mean, this is now 2 games in a row where he scored, well, he scored 31 in the last game, 27 tonight. He was 11 of 20 from the floor, which is, you know, that's fine. But it's what it really comes down to is he's making the shots that we kind of thought he was going to make when he came to the Celtics. But, you know, this year the real difference has been that, like, he'll make the wide open shots, or we'll kind of manufacture those wide open shots for him. You know, he didn't do it as much tonight, but, you know, those sort of little 8-9 foot jumpers where he just turns around and hits it over a guy, like, that's been great offense for the Celtics. I mean, and I don't have the numbers on this, but that seemed to have been great offense for the Celtics over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, I feel like just the momentum, you know, when you, like, you look at these games and I wrote up this game sort of as it went, and, posted it as time expired, and it was really hard for me to encapsulate, you know, to someone who might not have been watching the game, maybe might be reading this tomorrow to catch up, like, just the impact that Marcus Smart was having. And that's kind of always been the thing with Marcus Smart, right? Is that we have a hard time sort of, you know, quantifying where that it comes from. You know what I'm saying? That winning, that extra little bit of winning, you know, that extra little bit of, you know, kind of whatever it might be. To just kind of get the Celtics up over the hump. And you look at the box score, and there's not going to be a lot to show you there. But, I mean, Marcus Smart had, in overtime, I mean, he was the one who got the ball under the basket, whipped that pass out to Terry Rozier to get the big three. You know, he got the big offensive rebound on the next time down the floor. He got the offensive rebound and put back. You know, Marcus Morris at the tail end of the game with two monstrous offensive rebounds and follows. I think one was actually got it, went to free throws, but, you know, 4 points on two big offensive rebounds that, you know, Celtics would have definitely lost the game without. And it's just, you know, it's kind of goes to show that just sort of, you know, I don't want to say toughness, because that sort of implies that Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward aren't tough guys, and they are, but just that extra little bit of physicality that those guys bring to the starting lineup, I think, is what really has, you know, sort of catalyzed this big, the seven game winning streak the Celtics are currently on. That and also a pretty weak schedule. But, I mean, also this has been a seven game stretch too, where the Celtics have literally had to, you know, get on a plane in between every game. It's not like they've had a big homestand in there somewhere. So, good to see the Celtics, you know, again, still taking care of business. And, you know, they should be feeling pretty good going home against the Hawks squad this Friday.
Yeah, I mean, and to speak on the weakness of the schedule too, it's still more of a process over results thing at this point, you know, because let's say we would have lost this game, like we would have said, oh, they lost to the Wizards, blah 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 blah. But, you know, you saw the first half, they were getting the shots they wanted, they just shot abysmally from three. I think they were, you know, like, I don't 20%. Remember the number, but it was four
for 20.
So, what does that mean? Why are we laughing?
I don't know. Yeah, it's
so
weird.
Like, I was watching, and it wasn't like they were getting bad shots the whole game. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like early in the season where kind of just the shot profile they had was super ugly. You know, I was happy with them for the majority of the game. I thought they were defending well. You know, I thought for having to play Robert Williams and put him out there against, you know, arguably one of the better backcourts in the NBA, John Wall and Bradley Beal. Like, I think he kind of, you know, he got burned a bunch of times, but I think, it certainly could have been worse. So I think
No, just on Robert Williams, you know, who, again, had, you know, in his second real NBA game, you know, I think, again, was pretty effective, you know what I'm saying? Like, changing things. That was really interesting. Brad Stevens actually had him on the floor to start OT, and you saw him kind of ward John Wall away from the rim and make John Wall shoot over him. And he missed, and, you know, Brad took Time Lord out of the game right after that, but then and John Wall just continued to get to the rim with impunity. But I think that it's been really encouraging to see Robert Williams over these last, like, two games, because he hasn't even flashed what I think is his second best NBA skill in his passing. Like, his passing hasn't really been part of this. It's just been, like, his ridiculous athleticism and shot blocking. But I think we're seeing him, like, impact games when he comes on the floor. Like, I think he really – those big, scary blocks and those big, loud, like, dunks, they really energize the team and, you know, kind of dishearten the other squad. And I think we kind of saw that again tonight. I mean, I know that he's end of the bench guy. He's probably not going to be, you know, a factor for this team in the playoffs, you know, -5 when he was on the floor. But still, I mean, I don't know. The eye test is showing me something different. It's hard not to be really excited about where Robert Williams is going.
Yeah, and I mean, even speaking on, you know, his NBA skills at this point, like, you saw it a lot more, I think, in the Pelicans game than today, but when he's on the floor, you know, the other team knows where he is at all times. Like, they have to be aware where he is, because he, you know, if he doesn't get a hand on a shot, he impacted every shot that was even in his vicinity when he was on the court. You know, players have to put so much arc. Anthony Davis had to put so much arc on his shots just to get it over him. You know, John Wall hit a shot over Rob Williams today, and it was impressive because he had to put so much extra arc on it just because Rob Williams was closing out on him. So I think that's kind of that's been the most encouraging thing. And then you spoke about the passing. Yeah, he's just such a fluid, you know, kind of just a fluid playmaker, not playmaker, but such a fluid passer at this point in his career, where most guys would kind of be, you know, let's just say, like, we didn't see Semi Ojeley making these kind of passes last year.
We did not. We definitely did not. He's too thick. He's too thick and jacked. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, when you're...
Yeah, the ball would go through other people.
Yeah, Semi's just looking out for other people. You know, you can't... You don't want to decapitate someone, you know, when he's putting the force on the ball that, you know, he might have to. Oh, man. Poor Semi. Rough game for him tonight. 1-for-7 from three. But, hey, you know what? The Celtics won. You know, and Semi had a pretty... He was kind of due for an off-shooting night. He had been kind of stroking the ball pretty well over these last few games. Aaron Baines, only 16 minutes tonight. Did you think he looked right? He looked... I don't know. I think he might still be playing a little hurt. That's just my takeaway. I don't know if I'm just seeing shadows out there, but
as an unofficial ankle expert that I am, you know,
hashtag ban ankles,
my completely official, totally real, backed by medical science diagnosis is that he definitely did come back a little too quickly. Like, ankles are kind of finicky, and people know this. This is well-known knowledge. Like, ankles are kind of finicky in that they just really take time. And I mean, he's a 270, 280-pound man.
Yeah.
You know, when you fall on your ankle like that, like, oh my God. You know,
well,
so,
according to Tommy, he's got extra front weight too that he's got to, like, support
the
ankles. That throws the equilibrium off too. You know, like the inflection point of the balance. It's not the same as it would be. According to Tommy Heinsohn,
that must be what That must be why when Yabu hurt his ankle, his was so bad too, because he doesn't have the extra front weight; he has it in the back. So it'll be interesting seeing how their recoveries. Interesting seeing how their recoveries are different. Like, if one takes longer and one takes shorter, because I think that could be a good contribution to, like, you know, doctors. We could tell them about, you know, the difference in, you know, like you said, the balance and the inflection in the ankles, depending on which side of you is sick.
I'm glad you brought out Yabu. I mean, because I as much as God bless Gershon Yabusele and end of the bench, lovely personality person, one of my favorite large sons of all time. But I feel like at this point, it would be a little bit ridiculous for Yabu to continue to sort of play over Robert Williams once he is healthy again. Because, you know, it sort of had been that Robert was sort of the low man on the totem pole, you know, minutes-wise. He would be sort of the last big man to get the minutes, you know, behind Yabusele.
Yeah.
And I think we're probably going to see that continue just because, you know, Williams is still sort of in the main. You know, they're going to ship him off to Maine. You know what I'm saying? As soon as they have healthy people, and that's how things are going to go. But I really think the Celtics should maybe consider, you know, sort of giving Robert Williams those looks because, I just, when I see Robert Williams and his ability to like stay in front of John Wall, literally one of the quickest guards in the NBA, who literally all at the end of the fourth quarter sandwiched around that possession where Williams had him in isolation. He was just annihilating the Celtics interior defense with impunity, just getting to the rim, looked like old pre Team USA picture where he looks like me. He looks like me in the picture. And you know, it looked like old John Wall at the height of his powers, sort of, you know, going back and forth. And to see Robert Williams sort of contain that guy in switches, you know what I'm saying? Like opposing defenses have really targeted him when he, or offenses, I mean, have really targeted him, both the Pelicans and the Wizards when he's out there. And it's really gone pretty well for Robert Williams. And I just, you know, if things get bad in one of these matchups where you need, you know, a big who can alter shots and protect the rim, but also survive these switches against, you know, your Raptors, or, you know, if you want to get ahead of yourself, the Warriors or some of these other guys, you know, someone who has a chance of staying in front of these, you know, elite wing attackers with these teams that have a ton of great wings. And I really think that that's going to be useful. And I think you kind of want to get Robert Williams those reps just in case you need that in the playoffs, because he's really a unique guy and the only person on the Celtics roster who could really, you know, bring that. All due respect to Al Horford, but it's sort of a different levels, you know, to their athletic and shot blocking abilities.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, Rob is kind of showing that, like, even as a rookie, if you can come into the NBA with like one skill that's kind of so far and beyond either the rest of the rookie class or even some NBA players, like Rob's showing that you could be a useful NBA player right from the start. You know, maybe I'm going too far calling him useful, but I mean, in the time that he's gotten, you know, he has what I call the Jordan Mickey effect, where he blocks a shot every time he checks in. every time. But beyond that, he can also catch a basketball. So maybe that breaks away from the Jordan Mickey effect a little bit. But I mean, we saw him kind of have like his first play in space today, where he got an offensive rebound, put it down he dribbled it, and then he went up with a little kind of baby hook shot. You know, that was his first shot like that I can remember, because obviously he's had all dunks so far. So I think, you know, every time he plays, like, he's showing some sort of flash of just something new that he could do, you know, and we know he has one or more NBA-ready skills already in his shot blocking, possibly his passing, and just his athleticism in general. I think the wristband said it, like, Jalen's kind of, like, a good athlete, but Rob Williams is, like, an insane NBA athlete. Like, when you see him move, it's just so effortless. His head is at the rim.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous to sort of see what he can do, you know, time in and time out. It's really just wild. And I don't know, it's crazy. We've got a shout out by Gorman real quick for coming into and calling him the Time Lord tonight. I mean, that's it. It's here now. There's a chance we could have Tommy calling him Time Lord before the end of the year. What a time to be alive, folks. Really is a wonderful time to be alive. All right, so we're going to once again, you're with us here on CLNS post-game show. The final score of the game, 130-125. We're going to go to a quick commercial break before we get to some of the calls. So we're going to be right back after that.
Every neighborhood has a heartbeat, a place that represents what being home is all about. In Boston's historic North End, that place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company has become home to A-list celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Brad Marchand, Milan Lucic, Aaron Baines, and the list goes on over the years. It's more than just Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's a spot to catch up while getting lined up. And it's also a tourist attraction for the hundreds of thousands of people that visit the North End throughout the year. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company, a North End landmark that represents the epicenter of the neighborhood at its core, located at 113 Salem Street.
Okay, folks, we are back. CLNS post-game show. We're going to go to the Boston Barber and Tattoo Company lines. That's, again, every neighborhood has a heartbeat, and that place that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core, but in Boston's historic North End, that place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company has become home to the A-list Boston celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Milan Lucic, Brad Marchand, Aaron Baines, and Boston Barber and Tattoo Company is more than just Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It is a tourist attraction for hundreds and thousands of people each and every year. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Okay, so we're going to go to the call lines, and we're going to go to my number one guy. I'm frequently hosting with him, a king, if you will, a legend. And that is right. It's a Mr. Nick Sesento, my frequent partner here on the show. Nick, what did you think of that game out there today, and how do you feel about John Wall sort of getting his groove back before ultimately falling?
Straight up.
The Rudy Mustache, it's good to hear my man Sam Sheehan back in high spirits. I think we can all see that the Boston Celtics appear to have turned the corner. And for as much, and I've been listening to, you know, everything you guys have said. I tuned in before the show even started. Maybe one of the easier parts of the schedule, but I mean, what the Celtics were playing before was one of the more difficult, parts of their schedule. So I mean, these things, and they even during that rough spell to start the season out, they still beat the Milwaukee Bucks, they still beat the Toronto Raptors, they still beat the Philadelphia 76ers, even before all this stuff was sorted out. So playing the difficult part of the schedule now, or easier part of the schedule now, it like Sam, as you've mentioned, now on multiple shows, they've been on a plane in between every single game. They haven't really spent any time on the ground. So there are other elements to this, and obviously they played the past couple of games without key players. I believe Gordon Hayward has missed several games. Jaylen Brown missed several games. They beat the Pelicans, who, I mean, not that the Pelicans are all that fantastic, but beat the Pelicans without half their roster, basically. There are challenges.
2.0. The hospital Celtics
not that they haven't faced, challenges on this on this stretch, in and of itself. I liked where you guys started with the two Marcuses. I think they've been the story of the season so far. I think that's been Brad Stevens, especially at a time it seemed to happen, right at a time when, hosting the show and listening to this show, there, even some of the callers were beginning to question, and some of the hosts, longtime hosts, beginning to question, just how difficult this is going to be for Brad Stevens to, sort out his rotations and, get the, the right lineups and reintegrate Gordon Hayward. And, maybe we all as a fan base kind of, underestimated just how difficult it was going to be. And then all of a sudden, Brad Stevens, pulls the genius move to insert the two Marcuses into the starting lineup. And it just happened to be like the perfect recipe for all the reasons, you guys mentioned earlier. But I mean, in specific, I've been a critic of Marcus Smart for the longest time. Anyone that's listened to, me on the CLNS, Boston Celtics CLNS postgame show for the past several years knows that I've really been tough on Marcus Smart. But I think the $13 million Marcus Smart is a good Marcus Smart. I can put up with his 1-for-5 from three when he does all the other things that he's done. And I think when you put him, his propensity to look for the pass first, playing, gritty defense, doing all the hustle things and all the things that we love Marcus Smart, just as you mentioned, Scalabrini wouldn't stop talking about it all night, and rightfully so. When you combine him with Kyrie Irving, who is more of a score-first type of guy, who's not really a rugged, physical type player, he's a finesse guy, he's kind of like the perfect yin and the yang. And it's the same thing with Morris, that you need another veteran out there that's not recovering from, a horrifying injury, that's not afraid to, take those tough shots you know, in the clutch, that has no fear, that's, you know, a kind of a gritty guy, but who's also a veteran and can kind of feel the flow of the game. And you don't want, you know, as great as Jason Tatum is and he's going to be, you know, having a second-year player, and last year was a rookie, but having a second-year player, you kind of need a guy that's a veteran, that's been around for a while, that knows how to, you know, read the feel of a game. And having, you know, again, he's kind of like the perfect yang to Kyrie Irving. And then, of course, I just wanted to touch on the last thing. Time Lord, I love the kid. Yabusele has been rendered obsolete. I mean, I like Yabusele. I like Yabu.
Well,
with nothing against him personally.
Hold on.
But
you've seen
it would be criminal if Robert Nato Williams didn't get playing time over Yabusele moving forward, because he just offers too much to the Boston Celtics. Offers so much in the form of elements to the game that the Boston Celtics just don't have. That athleticism to, like you guys said, be eye level with the rim, to, you know, to get way up with to affect shots, to be able to stay with, you know, fast, speedy guards, defense on, you know, on the perimeter. I mean, the guy offers just way too much. I mean, give him a couple of years in Brad's system and he'll probably be shooting three-pointers by his, you know, third season. But, you know, we don't even need him to do that right now. Just, you know, get him in there and have him play. My monologue is over. I'm not going to hog up any more of your show. The one thing I did want to ask you guys, though, after all of that, you know what I'm saying, after all the spiel, did you guys like that foul at the end of regulation? Because I didn't. I thought that they should trust the defense, and instead of playing that foul game, because there's always a chance you foul the guy, he makes both of them, and then they foul you back, and, you know, then you miss one,
yeah,
and then it becomes, you know,
right,
make a shot. I just didn't like the call in the first place.
I think that in particular was too early. I think if you're, like, under 5 seconds, you got a foul. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think they left.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, too much time on the clock. Like, 15 seconds, a lot can happen in 15 seconds. That's, like, two trips up the floor. You got to make sure that, like, the ensuing possession is, like, you got to make sure that the other team can't, like, get within, like, feet of the three-point line on the ensuing, like, shot if you're going to, you know, do that. And I think it is the right call in those situations. We've seen the Celtics win games because other teams didn't do that. But, yeah, I do not think it was a good foul. But, I mean, also in Brad's defense, it literally went as bad as it could have gone. The Big still got 3 points out of it. So, you know, it's tough to say.
You can laugh about it because they won.
Yeah, right? Exactly. It ended up being fine.
Jack Mike, what's up, man? By the way, I didn't get a chance to salute my man, Jack Mike. Jack Michael, what's up, Jack Michael? We did a show together once, so
and
Jack Michael, we're cool. We're cool.
I think we did Phoenix, right?
Yeah, I think
oh
so.
My God. You poor soldiers. Jesus, you guys, like, that's like going through World War II together. That's like war buddies. You should, like, start saying that you guys were in the service together, basically, at that point. If you had to
Well,
do
Jack
that.
Michael is talented. He can carry the show. He always has something interesting to add. So, you know, even with those type of games.
All right, Nick. Thanks. Any final thoughts before we move on?
No, that's it. I'm smiling. I'm happy. The Boston Celtics are winning.
Right.
It looks like, this, you know, the team moving forward. So, you know, just more Time Lord, Bob Williams. We need more
there
Robert Beto Williams.
Yeah.
That is what we're talking about, baby.
Yeah, sure.
I'm Lord.
All right. Perfect. All right. Thanks for calling, Nick. I always love hearing from Nick whenever he calls in.
Yeah, Nick's great.
Nick's my guy. All right. We're going to keep it moving to another we got an all-star lineup here today on the show, so I'm going to keep it moving to another CLNS postgame all-star, so to speak. We got West Coast Jerry on the line, I believe, if I got my numbers right. Is this West Coast Jerry? Do I have that right?
That's right. West Coast
All
Jerry
right.
Checking in. Salutations to the Celtic Nation, guys. I'm enjoying the show. I'm enjoying the 7-game winning streak. I think it's 8 out of 9 victories. There's one thing that I haven't been able to clarify. I just looked up on ESPN, Jaylen Brown, DMP coach's decision. Did you guys know anything about why he didn't get any minutes today?
They were saying in the broadcast it was illness. My coworker, I think they might have mislabeled that on the report. I think my My colleague at Celtics Blog, Chris Grenham, with that report that he missed it due to illness. So actually, it was actually not a DNP. Though it would certainly lend credence to Jackie Mack's news story. It makes things
I read
a lot
that
more
today.
Interesting there. Yeah.
So
don't worry, Jalen is still okay.
Good. Yeah. Him and Gordon Hayward must just got the flu or something. But
yeah,
I was surprised when I saw Terry Rozier on that final lineup. I was like, huh, he's got Rozier, he's got Smart, and he's got Kyrie. And I didn't think that was going to work out. But boy, did Kyrie bail him out with those huge 3-point shots. Good,
man.
We've
seen it like time and time again. And it's funny because I did Kyrie a little bit of a disservice by just sort of jumping into raving about the Marcuses because I adore them so much. But kind of, you know, seeing the, you know, just seeing what happened, seeing him do the same thing, you know, basically just two monster threes. And then two free throws, just 8 points. I think it was in the last minute. It was all within the last minute to sort of get the, you know, the Celtics up over the finish line. We do kind of take that for granted a little bit with Kyrie Irving. I do want to say that I think, you know, I love Kyrie more than pretty much anyone, and I think that his defensive limitations are a little bit overblown. But I also do think there was a little bit of Kyrie's responsibility that John Wall was sort of getting to the rim with impunity at the end of the game. All that said, you know, another fantastic Kyrie Irving game. It was really good to see him, you know, just take care of business.
Yep. Listen, I'm thinking, what is maybe a quarter of the season or a third of the season kind of has gone by. So you see the team shaping out the, you know, the chemistry and the rotations and all these kind of things. Marcus Morris, I know you guys already, you know, were talking about him and giving him his praise, but Marcus Morris, he is, to me, like the MVP so far. He's the guy that's been consistent every minute he's been out there. I mean, he'll make a layup, fall, slide up under the backboard, and then get up and run back on defense and be like the first guy crossing the half-court line. Brad Stevens has whatever, you know, they got in their coaching player dynamic. It's just awesome to see. Also, Kyrie Irving, I think now, I mean, it's undeniable. He's in the top three best players in the East. He's looking like a top five, top 10 player right now. It looks like that knee's not giving him any problems. He can cut. He can move. He's hustling on the defensive end. Very, very impressed with how he's leading just by his example, by his play. The team is looking good. All the pieces seem like they fit. It's kind of a blessing in disguise that Al misses all this time now because it gives Bob Williams his spot to get acclimated to the NBA. He got two blocks on Anthony Davis. Everything's looking good. And then that way we can save Al for the playoffs because I love Al. All the guys are doing awesome right now. Brad and Danny, traded Danny, just let it ride, man. That's what I always say every time I call in Trader Danny or if I leave a comment somewhere on social media or whatever. Just let it ride. There's no need to make any move. Jackie Mack was saying today that the Spurs would have traded Kawhi to the Celtics if they would have included a few picks and Jaylen Brown and, of course, like maybe Morris to make the salaries match or something, and they would have done it. But the Celtics chose to hold on to him, obviously, because there's no guarantee he'll re-sign, and there was no guarantee about his health. But I thought that showed a lot. I mean, I'm just excited about the team. And, hey, a big shout-out to Nick. I know I heard he called right before I did. So, guys, I'm just going to listen to you guys finish out the show. Thanks for having me on, okay?
Oh, yeah, appreciate it, Jerry. Always love having you call in and hearing from you. Yeah, I'm with Jerry. You know that I was. I don't know, Jack. Did you get to listen to the Low Post at all today with Jackie Mack and Zach Lowe? Or I don't know.
I saw everyone speaking about it, but yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to listen. I've been, it's, you know, it's finals time, so.
Well, it was interesting, and it was definitely prime for your elite post of, you know, if basically she said that, you know, the Celtics drew the line at Jaylen Brown and we're not going to trade Jaylen Brown. And, you know, as you famously posted, when you're cooler, when everyone wants to trade you for Kawhi Leonard, if you're cooler than Kawhi Leonard. So that is
I believe
Jaylen
better
Brown.
Than Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, better than Kawhi Leonard. Okay. you know, I think Jaylen will turn it around. You know, it sort of focused on Jaylen, yeah. You know, sort of being inside his own head. And I think that, you know, we're just sort of seeing Jaylen take his lumps. But I've been really encouraged by what I've seen, you know, during the win streak when he's come off the bench. He's been, you know, really aggressive and strong. We're going to get to our final caller of the night. One of, if not my favorite caller calls in, if I got the number right, and I think I do. I believe this is Isaiah from Jersey, one of my favorite callers. Isaiah, you there?
What's up, Sam? What's going on?
Oh, all right. I did have it right. Yes, I'm nailing it. Oh, great to hear. What did you think of that game last night? That one that went there. I'm feeling great, by the way. So I'm feeling
I
a little
see.
Peppy tonight. I'm ready. I'm ready to hear from you and what you thought of this. You know, the Wizards have, you know, they're not a great team, but they've sort of turned things around after an abysmal start to the season. John Wall seems to have kind of, you know, played himself past whatever was going on at the beginning of the year. So what did you think of like that win out there tonight? The you know, the OT win on the road.
I loved it. I love this. Scrap, claw, fight, do whatever you got to do to keep the winning streak going, keep the momentum going. And I didn't really look at it as whether the Wizards were a team that we should beat or shouldn't beat. I looked at it as from the Celtics perspective, because to be honest, we're working on ourselves right now. It's kind of like we just it's like when we just got finished with a breakup. And we're not trying to worry about anybody else out there. We're just looking in the mirror and assessing ourselves and making sure that we're good for the next thing to come into our lives, right? But I think that's the stuff we're doing right now. I think we're working on ourselves. So it didn't matter about the Wizards. It mattered about us. And it mattered what we were going to do to get the victory, to keep this good momentum going. Because to me, it seems like these guys – They struggled, even Brad, they all struggled to find any kind of footing at the beginning of the season. I think the last time we talked, we were at the 20-game mark, and I think you were ready to jump out the window.
The Dallas game was rough on me. Yeah.
Yes, that was rough on all of us because we should have won that game.
I'd like to point out the Celtics have not lost a game since I threatened to commit Sepu Curry right here on the podcast. So
yeah,
Celtics
like
care about my well-being.
Exactly. But since that moment, it seems like they were clinging for anything. And when Brad made the move and said, forget this, I'm just going with toughness, when he made the move to do that, the rest of the team just it seems like it just fell in line and they don't want to let go of this feeling. And whatever they had to do to get this victory tonight and keep this momentum going forward, they did. So I was thoroughly happy with how it worked out. And not to mention how many players were down right now and we're still rolling. It's reminiscent of last season, except in a different way, because they're figuring it out. You can see them thinking on the fly, and you can see Brad just shining. The last time we talked about Brad and some of the moves that he might have been able to make differently. He's been doing everything right lately.
Yeah. No, it's just been it's so hard for me because I was kind of the guy who like said right before the Celtics hit this soft part of the schedule, you know, they're going to rip off some wins and they're going to look better. And, you know, we got to kind of hold off until, you know, they get through the first part of January because then the schedule gets hard again. But man, it just, they look so much better, even considering that, you know, some of these teams aren't that great. But, you know, like some of the teams in there, like the Timberwolves have played pretty well since they traded Jimmy Butler. You know, if you look at that context, they've actually been a really good team since that time. The Pelicans still have
been the best. They've been the best defense up to that. They've been the best defense post Jimmy Butler trade up until that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like the Pelicans, you know, this Anthony Davis is still there. This is still a team that swept another Western Conference playoff team. You know what I'm saying? For the most part, they really didn't lose that many guys. You know what I'm saying? So this is you know, they're not all total duds. And, you know, it has been a tough thing to, you know, sort of fly back and forth. And I think that, you know, just the Marcuses and what they bring to that starting lineup is just so important for, like, what's been going on. And it's really kind of been a luxury because it lets, you know, Al Horford get healthy. It lets Jaylen Brown figure things out. It lets Gordon Hayward figure things out. And, you know, without the Celtics, you know, continuing to drop too far behind. I mean, the Celtics are now breathing right down the necks of all these rivals that everyone thought they'd gotten out ahead of them, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see how this, you know, what happens through early January once the schedule gets hard again and the Celtics get to, you know, see some of these teams like the Bucks and Raptors again.
I'm just looking forward to seeing it continue, but I do have a question for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are out. A lot of people are injured right now. How do you keep this momentum going with the influx of people coming in? The biggest thing the biggest question around the Celtics right now is less more. And although we have people down, we're still winning ball games. Granted, tonight's rotation was a little rough, but the last game we were down Kyrie, Hayward, and Allen, we still went to town on the Pelicans. That's what made that an impressive victory, that the less is more thing is really looking good. So moving forward, I want to see how things go. And is Brad going to stick with this rotation? You guys think he's going to stick with the momentum and the rotation right now? Or is the...
Oh, hello?
Isaiah?
Seems like we might have lost Isaiah. Maybe might have been driving. Oh, well. Well, to sort of, you know, address – that's a shame because I love hearing from Isaiah. But to sort of address where I think he was going with that that question, I think he was going to ask about, you know, do you think the Celtics are going to continue to, like, ride this rotation? And they kind of talk. Well, what do you think about that, Jack? Because they kind of talked about that on the Low Post today with, like, Jackie and Zach. And, you know, we've only got about a minute and a half left here in the show, so we'd have to go kind of quick. But,
yeah.
What do you think? Do you think the Celtics should stick with the Marcuses or explore, you know, the more talented roster?
I think, like, and you kind of touched on it before with Jaylen coming off the bench. Like, he's kind of had a different energy about him, where he's kind of just going out there and he's just, you know, I think it was against the Knicks. He took his first 8 shots in the paint, you know, so I think that kind of energy and that kind of, you know, that kind of, I guess, punch off the bench. Because when you look at it, the bench lineup then, if we kept Marcus's in the starting lineup, would be Terry, Jaylen, Gordon Hayward, which, you know, that's a pretty good bench. And you know, it gets spoken on a lot, but obviously, and it's about the, you know, who finishes the game and not who starts the games. But, you know, having that kind of punch against, you know, a lot of the, especially a lot of the Eastern Conference teams, but Toronto especially, and then Golden State especially in the second unit would be, you know, really good. Like, it would just be a really good bench to have.
No. It also just makes this, you know, but it makes the ceiling so much higher too. You know, if you were to go that way. That's going to do it for us here tonight. Once again, your final score from Washington, the Boston Celtics 130-125 over the Wizards in overtime. Again, this episode is sponsored by Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company is the cultural epicenter of Boston's historic North End, home to all-star Boston celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Milan Lucic, Brad Marchand, and Aaron Baines. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company, a North End landmark that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core at 113 Salem Street. I have been your host this evening, Sam Sheehan, with my co-host, Jack Michael. We appreciate everyone calling in, and we will see you guys all Friday when the Celtics are going to take on the Hawks.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNSradio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.